You're listening to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys. Hey, good morning. Here we are, the KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and we're here today. We're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to dive into all things remodeling, renovation, and home maintenance. And I'm here to kind of help guide everyone through this whole world of home improvement, home maintenance, keeping up with our properties, our homes, everything about it. Whether you're tackling a DIY project or looking for some expert advice on hiring contractors, maybe fixing a leaky faucet, to a full-scale kitchen remodel, no question too big or too small, we've got you covered today. So grab your favorite drink, pick up the phone, and give me a call right here today, 314-436-7900. Let's turn your home into the home of your dreams. We've got the next 2 hours here, so stay with me right here on KMOX. And, you know, like I was kind of mentioning, really being my favorite 2 hours, I just love kind of, you know, what I do at Mosby Building Arts, going around, having conversations, talking about remodeling projects, helping people keep up with their homes, just being able to extend that to the general listeners out there from KMOX and just helping out. It's what I love to do. It's what I want to do. And it's just a great feeling. And so, hey, don't hesitate to call today. We've got 2 hours, like I said, 314-436-7900. We've got Cardinals aren't coming in against Cleveland till later on this evening. So we've got a full show, and then the regular lineup all the way through KMOX today until the ball game. So go Cards later today. But for now, again, give us a call, 314-436-7900. And we've had some really great conversations the past couple of weeks. Last week we had James, we had spoken with about some freezing pipes in a crawl space of a rental property, which was really came into some good conversation and a good mid-grade plan after going over everything, you know, not to go overboard with the cost of how to kind of handle a crawl space, and came up with a medium kind of middle surface there that really took into effect a little more of the return on investment, because, well, you're in an income property, so that's what you're trying to figure out and think about while you're doing it. As a homeowner, if you're looking for more longevity, you're going to be there for a really long time, you want a lot of lasting value out of what you're getting, and you want to maybe prevent things that may happen down the road. You can get into a little more and do a better system and really have more peace of mind knowing that for sure it's for you, it's for what you're doing, and it's for how you're going to live and kind of stay in that house for quite a long time. And so other things we went over, we had a conversation with Mary. It was a real interesting one about a kind of a clicking, buzzing sound that we had some ideas. We also ended up with a few calls that came in afterwards, other ideas of things around the house that it could be. I think the general consensus kind of came down to electrical, mechanical. Think about the ice maker someone called in and reminded us about, which, yes, the ice maker in the fridge, and it goes down into the basement, and it'll click on and off. It'll run. It'll create some vibration. You've got your HVAC, your GFCI outlets, maybe sump pump. Call came in about that was another good idea. We talked about lift stations for if you don't have drains under your basement floor. It could, if you had that, could be that making that noise. So there's a lot of different things. And we just talked about walking around and trying to figure out and go through and really just take it one step at a time, go to different areas, and you just got to kind of eliminate the process of elimination and see where you hear it the most and just try and narrow it down. It's not It's a common thing, but not an easy thing to find and or figure out. So we also had a really good conversation with Charlie, who kind of called in and was talking about some water stains on his basement ceiling and kind of led into the HVAC above it. There's a cantilevered bay nearby that's overhanging the foundation and could be bringing in some air infiltration, which then once your basement ceiling's finished, you can get easy condensation with cold air running through your ductwork, warm air infiltrating in, and just it's basically not necessarily a leak, but just condensation forming, dripping on the drywall, causing stains. We see it all the time with bath exhaust fans and in skylights and areas like that, the solar tubes that go down through the attic and create a little round skylight in your ceiling. When you've had these pipes and things and they're in an area that temperature differences mix, and there's a lot of, we're in St. Louis, don't forget, we are in St. Louis, so you're going to have a lot of moisture in the air, and it's just going to kind of come out. It's like that, we always talk about that glass of iced tea sitting outside on the patio and it's soaking wet on the outside. That is exactly the kind of thing that that happens to you, and you get it inside the house, inside the ceiling, inside the walls, causes for leaks that aren't necessarily leaks, but something could be figured out to kind of help stop that from happening. So, yeah, we certainly had a lot of great conversations all through the show last week. And again, we're here for you. We got plenty of time. We got plenty going on. Feel free to give us a call. 314-436-7900 is where you will find me. And speaking of different conversations, so we definitely, we have a lot of conversations about pricing, investments, pricing transparency. A lot of people are looking to find that stuff out earlier, and they're having issues with a lot of companies and companies that they meet with trying to figure out just exactly where they're going earlier on before you get way, way too far into the process. And different companies, different people, different business models, you know, everyone thinks of these things differently. So I often kind of compare this to insurance work, where when you're looking at getting something done and you're trying to figure out who could do it, who would be the best, how could it be done, how could it be done the best, and you've got all these things going on, when you look at insurance companies and insurance work, they're going to be, you know, they're really looking down and not figuring a lot out on that high-end stuff. They're looking at the easiest, the quickest, the cheapest way to get things done and to just get through it. So that's going to think of the bottom of the barrel and think of other people coming in. When you do more and you have more, it's just going to be a lot different. So take the time to figure it out and then have those financing and those investment conversations. So, hey, we're going to get into a break here and we'll take our first break here. And when we return, we'll have plenty to come. Don't forget, feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. We'll be right back. We are rolling through this. Got a lot going on for you today. So, yeah, we're here to help you out. Your host of the KMOX Home Improvement Show here, Rich Orris. And feel free to give us a call today, 314-436-7900. A lot of interesting topics, a lot of things going on around today for you. And like we were talking about right before we left the last break, I was kind of going through some of that pricing stuff and transparency and how people kind of go over that and how they don't. And I was looking at insurance and kind of talking about insurance companies and what they do when they're trying to fix your house and get things working for you. And the way they look over everything, they're doing the bare minimum. And that's how a lot of companies kind of look at things also. Is so the last insurance work, I kind of put some stuff together for one of my good repeat clients. We kind of sat down and went over and we sent everything in, you know, kind of back into their insurance and kind of told them that, you know, we do things a little differently. And we want to really make sure we're doing things well, and we do everything. So we do the painting, we do the siding, we'll fix the screens, so we could do the whole list when you've got 3-4 different things going on. The light fixtures, we have licensed electricians, so we can put those in as a company. So we monitor, we have a project walkthrough. They don't look at anything like that. We had some supervision. They didn't have anything in there about throwing anything away, no dump trailers, no nothing to get rid of stuff. Just kind of looked at each little area and didn't think about mileage. How do you get to the site? How do you take the trash out and drive it somewhere? Didn't think about any kind of cleanup, a daily cleanup. And that's why at the end of some of those jobs and repairs, and say they fixed your roof and you find a bunch of nails or a bunch of trash around, well, they're not really getting paid for that. So they're not trying too hard to make that happen and to really get it good for you. So yeah, they're just doing, again, kind of that bare minimum stuff and really just trying to get through it. Because they're thinking also, they got to think about profits. They got to think about their company. They got to think about how they keep going later and trying not to raise rates and why rates are going up so much because of all these things that cost them money. So just have good conversations and think about all that as you're going through and really figuring stuff out. Just ask open-ended questions and have some great conversations with everybody and ask those questions to them and see what you get back. So in speaking about great conversations, we've got a caller online. We've got Sylvia on the line. Let's see what's going on. Hey, Sylvia, you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yes. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a finished basement drywall, and we have like a sump pump system. And it was put in, I am not sure when, about maybe 25 years ago. And right now the drywall is kind of bubbling. And so I was wondering, I guess, who you would recommend, you know, to kind of tackle this situation. I don't know, any recommendations or what I need to do or who to call.
Yeah, you are in a little bit of a in between of a divide in kind of who does what, because you're probably more than likely behind the wall. You're getting some kind of water in, whether the sump pump's not working and it's coming from the ground, or you could have cracks in the wall and it's actually coming in through the foundation. 2-4 feet off the ground are running down, and it's kind of causing some of those stains and bubbling. So there's moisture, something happening, something getting behind the walls. So the foundation type repair companies that correct that sort of scenario generally do not do the drywall, the framing, the electrical. They're straight on to the foundation, so they can fill the crack and guarantee you that you'll never get water in it again. But you need somebody to remove everything and then put everything back, and you need to kind of locate it, because sometimes it can be a little bit of a challenge finding out exactly where it's coming from, because you could have a crack in the foundation. Say it's 15 feet to the right, and you've got a 16-foot board that makes your wall at the bottom. So the water runs sideways 15 feet, starts coming out down there. You open the wall where the stain is and don't find anything. Then you kind of follow that trail. Then you end up 15 feet down the ways where you find a crack. So, yeah, somebody to kind of look at the sump pump, see if it's working, see what's going on, and you'll probably need some investigational work to remove and look behind some drywall to try and track down where we think this moisture source is coming from.
We're thinking that it could be like the vapor coming in, like an effervescence, you know, that's kind of because we really don't get any water.
Yeah, so it could be. And if your basement was done 25 years ago, they could have possibly, and this is something that maybe you could even try and find out. So they could have put, it was common practice to put plastic behind the drywall. They'd put plastic on the framed wall and then they drywall over that. And plastic holds moisture vapor and doesn't let it through. So what happens is it's kind of what I was just talking about a little bit ago with the HVAC and the air infiltrating in. You're just getting condensation and it's forming on the plastic and it's running to the bottom or to a seam. Sometimes when that's the case, you can kind of look at your switches and your outlets and see if you see any like slight water stains around those switches or outlets. Because that's like a break in the plastic and the condensation will run to there and then that's where it hits the drywall. So that could be the case. Or if there's a spot you can cut out and see if there's plastic behind the drywall, maybe in a closet or something like that.
So I guess, so you would recommend like a waterproofing company and then getting a separate contractor or is there a company that does both of these things that can, you know, take out the drywall and they do the waterproofing and then they put the drywall back up, you know?
Yeah, there isn't any I know of other than where I work during the week at Mosby Building Arts. We can do the investigation. We can look at everything. We have educated people to kind of look at those systems and kind of help figure that out. And we can do the tear out investigational stuff, and then we can put everything back together. And if we if we do find that the sump pump's not working or that there is a crack in the wall that needs to be fixed, then we can offer, you know, bring in a trade partner that says, here's the foundation company we work with daily that then they can come in and let you know what all those repairs are, get that done. And then we put everything back together.
Yeah. Cause it's, I think it's hard to coordinate like separate companies, I guess I want to say.
It can be. Absolutely. Yeah. And we can coordinate and supervise and get through all of that for you so that you don't have to worry about trying to get people in and out and how to get them done and what do they need to do when and then when do you get somebody back in. That's kind of one of the things that we handle for our clients at Mosby is we'll take care of all of that.
Okay. All righty. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. That's, I was just kind of wanting to know. So either be, I can call you or I can do a separate kind of thing where you just kind of come and take out all the stuff. And I have a waterproofing company come and then somebody else come and do everything else.
Yep. Yeah. Kind of how you mentioned it. You're either looking for a contractor that'll work with you to help find it.
Yeah.
And then a foundation company that can fix it, and then that contractor puts it all back together.
All right.
That's that's kind of the formula. It's just how easy is it on you and how well do they work with you and all that stuff. So we would definitely be able to come out, take a look, and at least have a conversation up front on what do we think, what do we see, where do we think we'd take things apart. Because your contractor might also need the foundation person to help say, take drywall out over here, take it out over there, you know, to work, so that if they don't know, then they're going to try and rely on someone else to tell them what to take out.
Right, right.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you so much, okay?
Yeah, no, you're very, very welcome. It's really, it's a great question and something that a lot of people I see all the time that are up against, and it's really how educated and how much does the person that walks in the door know in order to try and guide you in the right direction. And sometimes you need a couple companies together to get through that. So, right.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Sylvia. Thanks for calling in. And for everybody else, hey, I'm right here. We got a lot of time left for you. 314-436-7900 is where you can get to me and find me. So, ton of stuff going on around town and with our homes, with our maintenance, with our houses, keeping up with that maintenance, finding good people to help keep up with that and guide you in the right direction. When you think about things that are going on, if you kind of try and simplify and just think about what's happening and how were things before in the past and how were things built. When you, for instance, when you have a leak and someone comes out and they kind of look at it and they go, oh yeah, you got some stuff coming around here. Let's just caulk that up and you should be fine. Well, you know, years ago, we didn't even have caulk. They built houses and there was no caulk. When we put on brick years ago in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, they were putting tar paper and lapping it behind the brick on the wall to, because they knew about how it absorbs water and they knew condensation and how moisture vapor forms. And so that it's just like your roof. You put that tar paper on, well, they treated that like a roof. Well, when it wasn't brick, they didn't. And then you kind of go, well, you know, why? Because this water, this moisture, the things that can happen on any system. So we thought about it years ago, prior to really good exterior waterproof boards and sheeting that would keep that moisture on that side, or the house wrap prior to that. We did it with our roofs. We did it with some walls. We did a lot of these different things. And so, you know, then we kind of fell out of that and almost like forgot that what now that we're doing vinyl siding and now that we've got these different products, we kind of start forgetting about the things that were so important before. And that's where we're finally going back and getting back to some of that and having a lot more focus on what's on the wall behind and how do you take care of it? But so much of that relies on the installation process of getting it right and making sure that it's all put together in a way where water's going to run, it's going to drain, it's going to go where you want. It's so easy to get that wrong and to end up having issues there. So just make sure that we're checking into that stuff. So, hey, we're going to take a break here, and we'll get back to things right after these messages. Don't forget, give me a call, 314-436-7900. I'll be right here for you, and we'll be right back. Drew found my theme song there, right? He hit that right on the head, wearing the hard hat, everything else. And, boy, years of doing that. There are days that that I miss that. And there are days that I get back to that a little bit on my own house or helping other people out, friends and family and stuff at their homes. So I still get my hands dirty a little bit every now and then, but not as much as I used to. And of course, being here, helping out, my hands won't get as dirty, but hopefully I can help you and maybe your hands can get dirty. Getting something done around your house, performing some maintenance, getting some things answered for you, and just really let's take care of our homes in a really great manner and see if we can help each other out and help get through it. And that's what I'm here for. So right here on the KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, if you didn't know, and you can call in, get any question about your house answered. I'll scout's honor here. I'll do the best that I can. The phone number to find me is 314-436-7900. Now, again, you know, I've done a lot, and I've been doing this a long time. I wish that I knew absolutely everything. I probably don't. I'm sure I don't. But we have also a broad band of listeners out there of people that do what I do, of electricians and plumbers and carpenters and everybody that kind of helps get through this stuff. So oftentimes we get to have, and I get to even learn a bit where we get to have people call in and say, okay, well, here's some things I ran into, and here's some things I've done in the past, and here's a product I've used to kind of help with that and to get through that. And we appreciate that as well. So don't forget, again, you can find me at 314-436-7900. So we got a call coming in now. We got Tron. Is it? Did we lose him? Are you there? I think we might have lost him. Nope. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I am. Yes, I can hear you now.
Hey, how do you say your first name?
Torin.
Torin. Oh, okay. Hey, how you doing? What do you got going on?
Well, I've got questions about cast iron heaters. I've got a cast iron, and I need to know if there's some place in the St. Louis area that either repairs them or I can buy, you know, used ones.
So you're talking about the, like, cast iron radiators?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know anything exactly off the top of my head, but there is definitely, you can get used radiators, and they clean them up and repaint them and stuff. Sometimes they even just blast them back to the original cast iron metal. And then you can purchase them. You can get them put in. And there's newer versions of radiators that you can just purchase that are being made. But there is definitely a lot of sources in St. Louis to purchase used radiators in St. Louis. I don't have the names.
It seems like when I Google, I only get, you know, automotive firms that are looking at car radiators and stuff. There's nothing really out there, seemingly, for the home ones.
Okay. Yeah. So
maybe some of your listeners can.
If we've got some listeners out there that know where to get them, or if you work there, or if you own one of these shops, but there is plenty of refurbished stores in St. Louis that would definitely handle that. And maybe calling an HVAC company. So generally, when I need that, with what I do with Mosby Building Arts and everything, when we're looking at a house and we need a radiator like that, I'm having all that done through West County Heating and Cooling. And they find it, they'll get it put in. I've had them, they take them out and put them back when we just need them out of our way while we do the work, and then they go put back in. And I've also had them put in brand new ones, because sometimes the brand new ones, they're thinner, they go closer to the wall, they hang on the wall, and you got to move the lines to kind of where you would hook them up, so it takes a little more work, but it creates more space in the room when you get a new one.
Yeah.
So that's an option, okay, too. So maybe try giving HVAC companies a call, too, or you could try West County Heating and Cooling, look them up. They do those radiators for us all the time in these old homes, and we've been using them for more than 23 years here at Mosby Building Arts, because I've been here 23 years, and Tom with West County Heating and Cooling was around when I got here doing all of Scott's work prior. So,
fantastic. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the show.
All right. Hey, no, appreciate the call. And definitely something that we see a lot of also, you know, around St. Louis and everything, the wood reclaim, the doorknobs. You know, we have a lot of really old architecture, old buildings that they're wonderful. They're great. We love them. And there's a lot of places that reclaims a lot of these materials, even the bricks. Trying to find the bricks, sometimes you can, it's a labor of love, and you're walking around a big open area with a bunch of stacked up bricks trying to find a match to what you have, and they may or may not have it, but a lot of times it's worth the effort. So there's a lot of reclaimed stuff around St. Louis here, and all the stuff that we tear out and save, and you can get your hands on light fixtures. There's reclaim, renew stores and stuff out there. So definitely it's there for you. And hey, I did want to talk to everybody for just a moment here about another trade partner of ours here at Mosby Building Arts and a trade partner of mine, B&W Concrete Services. So for all of your concrete services that you need, you can find them on bwconcrete.com. You can give them a call, 636-458-3626. Now, the way they do everything really well, lots of peace of mind, getting it done the right way. You know you're going to have a great product all the way from the rock base up to the sealer on top. They're local and family owned. They've been in business for over 45, 50 years. They do every type of concrete out there, including foundations and poured concrete. They'll do tear-out replacement. They'll do brand new. They will do it all, and they can do it for you just like they do it for myself and for Mosby Building Arts. Find them online, bwconcrete.com, or give them a call, 636-458-3626. We're going to get into our break here. Don't forget, we got plenty to come right after this. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back. Got plenty of show left for everybody. Plenty of time to get to your calls and questions. Again, remember, you can find me, your host, Rich Orris, right here, 314-436-7900. So feel free, call in, and anything you need about your house. And again, remember, I'm going to put a call out there to all the HVAC people and contractors listening in. If you know where we can find used cast iron radiators for the house, give us a call. Let us know where we can find them. So, but speaking of calls, we got Ken on the line. Let's get straight to Ken. Hey, are you there? Can you hear me, Ken?
Yes, sir, I am.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks for calling. What do you got going on?
Kind of a two-pronged question. I've got a Brone ceiling-mounted bath fan, and the cover was always kind of hung down a little. And we noticed that, you know, it has the clips on it to hold it in place.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the clips, the plastic part of it, was broken, so that's why it wouldn't attach up tightly. So we ordered one, and I just cannot get that thing tight and flush. And I thought, this is really strange. So I kind of looked at the fan. We had a new fan just put in about 6 years ago. And the guy had me go out and get some tubing because he said, that's not even vented at all. He gave us the impression that he was going to go ahead and vent it to the side of the house. We looked up there. This tubing is just hanging from the rafters. So it's kind of a two-pronged question. It looks to me like when he put the fan up, he put it up too high in the ceiling so that those hangers won't go up there tightly. So that's the one part of the question. And the other one is, to get this done properly, I think I know I've heard you talk about it before, is it better to get, you know, your company to put those, you put them in, the tubing vented to the side of the house, or through the roof in the attic?
Okay, yeah. So to answer the first question is yes. When you put the bath fan, when it's installed, it should be, the fan itself, the edges should be flush with the drywall. So if it's too high, it won't really push in all the way and have that spring action work. And if it's too low, it'll go in all the way, but then you'll be away from your drywall because your fan's hanging down a little bit. So that needs to be placed, you know, perfectly in line with where that drywall flush face level is to make that cover work work well. And then secondly, yes, on your ducting outside, so we can do the ducting either way, and it really depends on the home and the conditions of the home. Where's your bath fan at? How close to the side of the home is it? Is it in the middle of the home? So what we're looking for is the quickest and easiest path outside. You want to make it quick, and you want to make it smooth, and you want to make it just happen really easily. So if the bathroom is in kind of the middle of the house and you want to go sideways to a gable wall, but that's maybe 20 feet away, but you could go straight up out through the roof in about 7 or 8 feet, then I would go through the roof. If your bathroom is a master bathroom in the corner of the home and 5 feet away is the gable wall, then yep, you can go straight sideways and go out that gable wall. That will work. That will work perfectly. The biggest thing to either of those situations that everyone needs to be aware of is the attic of your home is considered outdoors. It ventilates, it gets the air from outside. So when you look at the house and say, where's the envelope of the house? What am I conditioning? The attic is not conditioned and it's not a part of the house. So you want to use a hard galvanized pipe and you want to insulate it very well because it's basically outside. So when you're pushing really warm air through that pipe in the winter, you can get condensation forming because your attic could be 30, 40, 50 degrees air, and you're pushing 80 degree air warm from the shower with moisture in it through that pipe, and you end up with water stains and condensation occurring. So insulating that pipe, we put a backdraft damper in that pipe. So when it does exit the house, if anything happened to the damper, either on the sidewall or the roof, say it went wrong, say it froze open, say it just broke, the spring broke and the door didn't stay shut, the lid didn't kind of keep the air out, we've got a backup damper that will keep air from pushing down towards your bathroom. So we go kind of to an extreme on how to do that to prevent future issues down the road. But yes, I would have it done that way, and we'll pick that shortest path once we're there.
And it is, both bathrooms are back to back, and it is in the middle of the house. So it sounds like it'd probably be directly to the roof then.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And sometimes we'll pick a little farther path to make it to the back of the roof just for aesthetics. You may not want these dampers on the front of the roof, right where you walk up and see them. And things like that can be okay. But we'll kind of work through that and really help you understand where it's going to go and how it's going to be. But it's a different animal than just, somebody sticking a pipe up there and nailing it to the side of the rafter and saying, good luck with all the warm, moist air in the winter.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Trying to get the cover just drove me nuts. I thought, what am I doing wrong? And
yeah,
I believe that's what he did wrong. He just has it up there too high. But all right.
Yep. Well, okay.
So the only way to correct that is to move that the location of the fan. So
yep, you want to uninstall and reinstall that fan. Correct.
Good enough. Thank you, sir. Great show. Thank you for your answer.
No problem. Hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate the kind words and the phone call. And let's get to Mary on the line and see what's going on. Mary, what do you have going on for us?
Hi, Rich. Thank you for taking my call. I have. My questions are, what kind of options could I get to have a bathroom faucet give me the instant warm water that I have in my shower, which is kind of right very close? Now, I am not interested in a new water heater. I have the old conventional new water heater. And maybe before you answer that, I must say also that the faucet in question was called a water saver. Does a water saver influence I would assume it influences the regular hot water delivery.
So yes, the basically the water saver can, because it's really about the distance you are from the hot water.
Well, let me say that it's probably about 14 feet in an unfinished basement.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But let me also say the shower we did have done several years ago has the regular instant hot water, and that shower is about 3 feet away in terms of connecting or whatever. And I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, no, you're fine. No, that's good information to have, because that kind of exactly stated what I was about to say anyways is, so yeah, the shower, you have more water volume and it's closer to the hot water source. So the hot water gets there way faster. So the water saver.
No, I misled you somehow. The shower is close to the faucet. They're still 14 feet away from the hot water.
Oh, they're both 14 feet away from the hot water heater. Because they're right next. Okay. Yeah, so basically it's still a little bit of the same theory by way of you're probably getting more water volume going through the shower. So it will get there faster because it's letting more water out quicker. And the water saver faucet, if it's letting out half the water that your old faucet used to be, then it will suddenly take twice as long to get the hot water to it because it's half the water that used to come out in that same amount of time. And that's okay, because there is a big thing about using too much water, wasting water, having it run while you brush your teeth. There's all that stuff about, you know, trying to conserve water. So the water saver faucet's a good thing. It's really just now about how can we get that hot water closer to that faucet. And they do make like recirculating systems that you can put underneath the sink. You can either one, do a recirculating pump, and that goes in the basement and it pumps the hot water closer to your bathroom all the time, and that would involve running some plumbing down into the basement and hooking it up, and that would be a little more expensive but would be super effective. Or they make these little recirculators that go in the cabinet, and it will kind of do the same thing. It'll pull hot water towards it and feed it back in, feed the old water into the other side, so that you constantly have hotter water closer to your faucet. And those can work really well too. They will require some power, so you'll need an outlet to plug it into. So you'll need a little electrical work and then a little plumbing work to get it put in. But you can get that water closer to you. So even though you're using half the water, it's the hot water is there, and it's like 2 feet away instead of 14 feet away when you turn the faucet on.
Well, if I already, I'm sorry I didn't watch them do it, but when my shower was put in that has almost the instant hot water, can it not be, you said something about plugging in a pump underneath my sink. Could not that electrical situation be hooked to wherever my shower heater, whatever's in the shower, can they not be connected together?
Well,
instead of, you said, plugging in.
Well, the pump that they put underneath the sink will need some electricity to make it work.
Yes.
But that pump, if it gets the hot water closer to your faucet, it will also get it closer to your shower. So it'll just bring it closer to the entire bathroom.
Which I really don't need.
Don't need, but it'll just happen.
Shower. Yeah.
It'll just kind of happen on its own.
Yeah. Well, now, then here's another option. Isn't there an insulated round pipe insulator that I could put on the water lines, the water pipes from the hot water heater, the 15, 14 feet?
So,
how efficient are those?
Well, not very. Those pipe insulation, yep, you put it over the pipe. That's kind of more to just keep the pipe warmer when it's colder out. And that's not going to hold enough heat to where I don't think if you insulated those pipes, I don't think you would notice if it was any quicker in that faucet that. Not a bad thing to do, but I don't think it would help how long it took the hot water to get there. It would be slight.
It wouldn't be worth the effort.
It wouldn't be worth the effort.
Yeah,
you're right.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, okay. So that's about the only option, apparently, to have a pump.
Yep. Well, there's little pumps you could put in there inside that cabinet that'll work really well. And I would say, call a plumber, find a plumber, and they can get those installed, and it would really help you out. So, hey, Mary, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the kind words and everything for me, and you're very welcome for taking your call. And we got to get to our break here. And so for everybody else, don't forget, we've got a whole nother half hour for you, 314-436-7900. Get you right to me, and we'll be right back after these messages. All right, we are back. Live for you here today. Plenty of time for more conversations, more questions, more calls. You can find me right now, 314-436-7900. Anything that you need about the house, around the house. And, an interesting topic that comes up quite a bit is building decks. When we're building decks and we used to always have this comparison on the different materials to use for your deck, and then, which was basically, do you build it out of cedar lumber and stain it and make it a pretty color and everything, or do you go to what was then this newer kind of high-fangled material that's supposed to last forever, some might think. I do stress when you're looking at composites and the PVC coated and the PVC deckings and things, really look at the warranties, really do some research, really check how everything people have put out there about it. Look into all the reviews and do your research, because there are composite materials out there that are not as good, a little inferior, and really truly won't hold up as well as some of the others. And you got to be really super careful. I speak about this all the time on the show. It's all about installation and how it gets installed. And there are very specific ways of how you frame underneath composite materials and how you attach it and how often you attach it and how long are the screws and how many and how often. So you really got to pay attention to how these things get installed and how that will play into the longevity and lasting value of these just as much as how the quality of how they made it and built it and what their warranty is for it and everything else. Because I've seen these warranties where they come back and go, nope, nothing's installed right, nothing, it wasn't often enough, it didn't. They will not cover that if it was not done and performed properly. And there's really no one policing that. So how do you really know? So you got to have a great workmanship warranty when you do these and understand a great company that will follow up and back it. And if you figure out it needs to be redone, they'll actually do that. So there's a lot in the company, and then there's a lot in the training and installing it right. And like I was saying, we used to always compare this to wood, but now the wood is so expensive that it's not very often we're making that comparison, just because if you can have way less maintenance and it's the same investment or really close to the same investment, the closer that gets, the more likely you are. So we've gotten to a point where it's pretty much just all composite. Only people doing wood are really the people that just want wood, love wood, and they want to do the maintenance and keep the beauty, and that's what they're after. That's great. That's perfectly fine. We can do that. But there's way less maintenance and the cost is coming pretty even between the wood and the new composite materials. But this conversation that we keep coming up to is now turning into the framing. So now everybody's looking at, okay, the framing and wood framing underneath the composite material versus steel. And there's, so now you can get steel deck framing that, and there's some really great advantages to it. But there's also some other things that there's a few advantages to the wood as well. The steel, so some of the new steel, it's nice because it can save you some space underneath because it can be a shorter board, a not as tall board, and span pretty far. So a 2x6 in a 16-gauge steel can span almost 15 feet without a support underneath it on a composite deck like that. So a 2x8 in wood only goes about 12 feet, a little less than 12 feet. So it can be thinner. It can, if it's over like a garage you tuck under and drive in, it can give you more headroom. So there's advantages there. You also got to think of the steel is going to be straighter than wood. It is possible that it can last longer if it's, again, done well and right, but it can corrode. So there's all these pluses and minuses to it. And you also, something that to think about is when I talk to people all the time and I talk about like a plumber looking at a water heater or anything like that, an HVAC company looking at what brands they put in. Well, this is also about what are they used to, what are they good at, and what works really well for them, because labor costs are high. So if someone's trying to learn something new, it can be harder. It can take longer. So the expense can be a little bit more because they will be charging you for that time. So thinking about who's used to doing what and how that happens. But when you look at the steel, it can have corrosion. There can be some high maintenance costs in trying to take care of that corrosion. Some of them are coated, so it needs, they'll give you like a touch-up kit. If you scratch it or anything happens, you need to make sure that coating gets back over that or it can rust. So there's that. And then as you build, if you think about repairs, modifications, and or just changes in the field as you're building, the steel structure is really, it's tough, but it's set up and it is the way that it is. So you can't vary a lot in the field from the way that it's on the plans and the things that you ordered, where with wood, you absolutely can. So it can be easier to use. You can vary things. You can make adjustments in the field with the wood, and it's not as easy to do that with the steel. So a lot of it is training, labor, and what are people used to. So there's a lot of deck companies now that are getting used to this steel material, and it's a good thing when you're looking at standard decks that they build. So when they come out and they say, okay, yeah, we build a deck. It's this big. We can build it by that. The steel comes this long, and here's how we can do it. That works out really well. When you try and change and alter, that's when you can get into some different situations, and it's easier to do anything that you would like with the wood. So depending on your style and what you want to see and how you want it to be done, that could also play a factor between the steel and the wood and what product really works best and lasts well for you in how it's put together and how that deck is built. So definitely interesting things, and these products are constantly changing and coming out in different ways, and all of them have pros and all of them have some kind of cons to them depending on what you want and what you're thinking of doing. So, hey, we're going to get into our final break here, but we've got one more segment for you. If you have anything for me that you need, feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. We'll have a little time in the next segment right after this break. We'll be back. All right, we are back. And hey, speaking of those phones, we got Greg on the line. Let's get straight to Greg, see if we can help him out. Hey, Greg, thanks for calling. What's happening?
Hey, Greg, Rich, how you doing, man? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you, too. What's up?
You were talking earlier about these custom utility rooms on the second floor with, you know, stackable dryers. And, you know, the other thing you got to look at is your venting and service of those appliances. A lot of times they'll put custom countertops and cabinets around it. You cannot pull that dryer out to service it anymore, or with a stackable. And then they're venting that exhaust, that moisture, up into the attic. You're not tying into an outside roof and a vent and exhausting it outside.
Oh, yeah.
Which is causing a lot of moisture problems. And then the other thing I heard today on your show was like these, you know, these brick facade walls. People are going in and having water problems, and they're filling in the weep holes, which allows that water to get out if they ever get it in there. And we see a lot of that. But you're right, water flows wherever it wants to flow, and that's why you need, you know, an expert to help guide you through that process of what needs to be done. And that's what we offer. I mean, when you got a leaky chimney, put water up. Let's figure out what's going on, what's causing the leak. Is it the brickwork, the tuck pointing, or is it something from the inside that's causing that moisture? So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And your job, you got a tough job there, Greg, because chimney leaks, especially with condensation, can be, you can come to a chimney and you can fix the flue pipe and you can do all this brickwork and stuff. And that old brick system, you can fix three different leaks and have this thing perfect. And then you just get some condensation in there. And 3 years later, you've got some smaller water marks, not as bad as what you've seen, you know, before you fixed everything. But definitely the hidden chimney leak of the condensation in St. Louis is definitely a tough one. And we see that come back where we have a big leak, we do all this work, and then a few years later, there's just a little bit, and it's kind of just that condensation happening inside that brick wall. So, yeah, you got a tough thing ahead of you there, Greg, for sure, and what you guys do.
But, yeah, it's that, we scale this a lot with that remodeling of the utility rooms because, you know, being venting experts, you know, you get up in the attic and all of a sudden you just see the dryer vent pipe right in the attic, and now they got mold and they got other issues instead of, you know, like you said, you need a guy to make sure to take care of your plumbing, your electricity, your venting. Make sure you're venting those dryer vents properly also.
Yep.
And then, you know, yeah, and then, you know, making sure you put the right brickwork.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Don't trap water. You don't trap it. Let it still breathe. But, add some value to your clientele that's listening.
Hey, I appreciate it, Greg. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that for sure. And that, I mean, he's got a very good point when you're looking at the chimneys and the venting and all the different stuff. You do have to think about when you look at putting this new laundry on the first floor in this master bath, you got to think about how do you maintain that vent from that dryer. Because especially when in this situation, so the back of the home is further away, where they're at is near the front of the home, you have to actually look at, first off, I see it all the time. I see this happen a lot where they put in a laundry like that and they run that dryer vent, 4-inch pipe, all the way to the back of the house. And then they got to bend it a couple times. So they put in a couple little adjustable elbows and they move it around. They go around a wire or stuff like that. And they get it to the back. And by the time you add in the elbows and everything, you've got like 35 foot of distance. You're trying to move air. And so I'll ask, they're having problems with how this is working. And I'll say, well, let me, you know, what's the dryer? What's the model? You look it up online. And you look at how far that dryer says it can push air through a 4-inch pipe, and the dryer in the manual literally says, don't have more than 20 feet of pipe. And I'm going, well, we've got 35. Your air isn't even making it outside, which means your lint isn't, which means you're clogging it up, and then it's not working properly. It's not going to flow right. So, and the one I was just talking about earlier, it's all finished from that part to the back of the house. So if you run it to the back of the house through the joist, well, you got to go through drywall to get just to install it. But you better set up a way to maintain that so someone like Greg can come in later and clean that out and have access to it and make sure that it's working and it's safe. And there's so much to figure out in how all this works and comes together that when you're working on flues and chimneys and all this stuff, you've got a tougher job than it really seems to be. And I've seen so many things where someone had a fireplace put in and they were like, yeah, we always got the smell of gas. We never really liked it, so we just never really used it. And then we look at it, and same manual thing, we go, well, your flue pipe isn't high enough. It's only going this high, and it should go this high in order to make it even function right. It was never put in to work right. So check into that stuff and think about how you're doing that. So, hey, great show, great calls, great question. Had a blast. And, hey, for everybody else, I'll talk to you next week. Take care of your homes out there.